and will keep me from evil, and that it may not grieve me. And God granted unto him the request which is granted that which is which he requested. May God bless the reading here and doing from his own word. Read to you First Chronicles chapter number verses 9 and 10.
God bless you, Bishop Whitfield. May we have an opening prayer, please, by Dr. Dent.
Minister DJ, will you
we bless your name.
We're live.
Praise God. We're live tonight. Be on your best foot. Opening prayer by Dr. Dent, please.
Praise the Lord. We bless your name, O God. We give you glory, O God. We magnify your name, dear God, as we come to intercede on behalf of others, O God. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. That we stand on your word where two or three are gathered in your name, there you will be in the midst, O God. We thank you, dear God. Hallelujah. As we go in to study your word, dear God, you open our hearts and we may receive your word that we might not sin against thee, O God. Hallelujah. We ask you to increase us in wisdom and knowledge and enlarge our territory, O God, in the name of Jesus. As J-Man prayed unto you, O my God, hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you will, hallelujah. Increase me, enlarge my territory, O God. Enlarge our territory, O God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, that as we partake of your bread, hallelujah, word tonight, dear God, that we're able to go out and share it with others, dear God, to go into all the earth, hallelujah, to teach, to reach, oh God, hallelujah, to baptize those, hallelujah, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, we bless your name, oh God, we thank you for anointing to speak on tonight, and all those who are under the sound of my voice, oh God. Hallelujah, whether they're on the airway, oh God, hallelujah, and the radio, by radio or telephone, oh God, we thank you, hallelujah, that you also, hallelujah, that the anointing is shared abroad unto them, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you that whatever need there is, that it be met, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, dear God, that before we call, you have already answered, oh God, and we thank you right now. We give you glory, oh God. We bless your name. And we count it done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to thank Bishop Whitfield for our scripture coming from 1 Chronicles 4:9, and for Dr. Dent with that outstanding dynamic opening prayer. At this time, we're going to have somebody give me three testimonies out there what the Lord has done for you, even up until today. He woke me up, hallelujah, and he started me on my way, and he told me, BJ, if you start on time, I'll meet you on time. So I believe God for that, and I thank him for his keeping power tonight and for what our ears are going to hear in Jesus' name. Is there another testimony out there right quick before we bring on our speaker?
Amen, amen. This is Elder Prevost. Praise God. It's a blessing to be on the line on tonight. Hallelujah. I just want to thank God for everything that he's done. Hallelujah. I was praying about getting my oldest son some more clothes and more tennis shoes, praise God, hallelujah. And I had testified earlier about, praise God, how he goes and he cuts grass, he goes and he does some work, hallelujah, with the landlord at the apartments, praise God, hallelujah. And he went, hallelujah, praise God, and the day he told me they gave him a bag. Hallelujah, praise God, and they gave him a bag with some clothes, amen, some nice clothes too, praise God, and some nice tennis shoes, praise God, hallelujah. So I think, I'm talking about these shoes look like they just came out the box, praise God, hallelujah. So I thank God, hallelujah, for what he's doing. If he did that, hallelujah, imagine what else God is getting ready to do, hallelujah. And I just thank God, hallelujah, tonight.
Amen. That's our radio man right there, Elder Prevost. And the Lord told us to ask anything in his name, and if we believe it, he'll bring it to pass. So I thank God for that great testimony. Will there be another?
Mother Patricia, I just want to thank God for his keeping power. I thank him for each one of you on this line tonight, and I thank him for what our ears are about to hear.
Oh,
amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Can we get another testimony? Praise God. I know we've all been blessed. And we're waiting to hear from the woman of God tonight. Hallelujah. At this time, is my state evangelist there. That's my soloist tonight. She will render us a song, and then after that, we'll bring up our topic and the woman of God.
Amen. Giving all honor to God who's the head of my life, and say, always be ready.
Come on
now. You never
know
when you might have to be called on.
Amen.
But surely God is good, and he's been merciful to all of us. So I'm gonna do the this song and get out the way so we can hear the word.
Thank you.
In the name, amen, everybody.
Amen.
Okay. When the storm of life rages, stand by me. When the storm of life rages, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea, oh, through the valley, oh, the valley, stand by me. When the storm of life rages, stand by me. When the storm of life rages, stand by me. When this world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea, oh, to the lily of the valley, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. Lord, when I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When my life becomes a burden, and I am nearly sheer Jordan, oh, to the lily of the valley, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. Lord, when I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. Oh, when this life becomes a burden,
my.
And I'm nearly on the chilly Jordan, oh, to the lily of his valley, stand by me.
Praise God. That was our own state evangelist, Marie Brown. Stand by me. When the trials and tribulations occur, we know to call on the Lord Jesus Christ. He said he would hear and answer our prayer. So, Lord, we need you to stand by me. Hallelujah. And as Jabez prayed and called upon God, the Bible tells me the Lord heard and answered and granted Jabez's request. So all we have to do is call on the Lord, because he'll stand right there by him. by you. Amen. I want to thank and praise the Lord for each of you that are under the sound of my voice and out there in radio land. We pray that as you hear the voice from our own Dr. Wright, that you will be blessed. I want to thank God for the chosen generation of churches under Chief Apostle B. Thomas, our Apostle Deborah, our State Mother Patricia, our State Evangelist that just rendered that song, Marie Brown. We have our own announcer, General Shaw. We have Minister Ray Thurman, the Elder Prevost. Hallelujah. A host of people that come under this chosen generation of churches. I want to thank and praise the Lord tonight. Our topic, get ready. And unless the Lord has given us something else, is why did Satan choose to speak with Eve and not Adam? And I want to introduce to some, present to others, a woman of God that's on fire for the Lord. Let me tell you something about her. Her ministry is PCIE. It's a Practical Christianity Institute of Evangelists. And I found out that she started this in her living room, and she's had over 60 folks to graduate. She has four levels of degrees, y'all, that you can get with, and that's earning your bachelor's, your master's one, your master's two, and a doctorate. She loves God. She's a mother. Hallelujah. And you can depend on her at any time. She'll be there. Amen. God bless you. So I want to introduce to some and present to others none other than Dr. Brenda Wright. Have the floor. The floor is yours. Praise God. Amen.
Well, praise the Lord, and thank you so much again, Evangelist VJ, for the opportunity. I reluctantly came on, not because I didn't want to, but I'm having some challenges.
Amen.
Here that I wasn't sure I was even going to be able to be on. And understanding that it's open mic,
yeah,
gave me a little bit more freedom to, amen, feel that I could participate, because I don't have to do the whole thing.
Okay.
Since everything else is going to be, I understand there were two concerns. One was where black people originated from.
That was last week.
Speaking,
amen.
My first approach. And
okay,
then the second one was, why was it that Satan spoke to Eve, as opposed to Adam? Well, we don't have answers for everything. I want to start off by saying that. We don't have answers for everything. We certainly cannot figure out the devil, why he does what he does, why anybody who was in the position he was in did what he did to be where he is today is incredible, unbelievable. The Bible says that he was in the mountain of God. He literally walked up and down on the stones, and the many things that he had achieved that God had given to him, until sin or iniquity was found in him. So the first thing we do know about the enemy, with all the other wonderful things he had been given, is that he sinned. And sin is something that we, for whatever reason, tend to still play down as though it's not that important. But sin is a reproach to any people. I was reading earlier in the book of Revelation concerning the war. The first war mentioned in the Bible was in heaven, and it was angelic warfare. There's still a lot of angelic warfare going on. In the book of Daniel, we are introduced to the idea that Daniel's prayer of 21 days was delayed by the fight that took place in the atmosphere with the evil forces of darkness trying to prevent the angel Gabriel from coming with the answer to Daniel's prayer. Sometimes we don't know what the delay and the holdup is for our prayers. We do know God answers prayers, and we also know the enemy fights the answers and tries to, if nothing else, to delay and to confuse. We're going to be looking, or I'm going to mention, and I'm sure many of you know some of the names. I do not take any pleasure in talking about the enemy. But the Bible makes it clear that he was known as the dragon, and he's also known as the old serpent. There's not a new serpent. This is the same old serpent that was in the garden, meddling with Adam and Eve. It's the same one. And he's referred to as the wicked one. He's referred to in the Bible with many different names, and those names are characteristic of his behavior and of him. And a lot of us don't really know or understand some of the things that the enemy is capable of, And sometimes we play right into his hands, especially when it comes to fighting among ourselves. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So we're not supposed to be fighting each other, but the enemy has been very successful in getting us to fight among ourselves. One of the things that I wrote a book back in the 80s, I believe it was, called Wake Up, Black America. I went through the Bible, and I found every place where there was a mention of black people of any sort. Because of the different races commingling together, we have a lot of people who have a mixture of various different nationalities and so forth. When it comes to Black America, we're dealing with those individuals that are here in America. America wasn't known in the Bible when it talked about the things that many of us refer to as Black Americans. One of the things that I want to kind of highlight is that God is always in control of everything, no matter what it looks like. And it's the Lord who established, first of all, mankind here on this earth. And it was God who also established the order. I do believe in divine order. And the order, like we see today, the enemy tries to overthrow the order and the counsel of God, but God is still in charge. And we're going to open it up a little bit to talk about, and I'm just going to bring in the scriptures, and I'm going to refer to my book. I am having problems with lighting, so excuse me for that. And as I told BJ, I will come back again another time and perhaps go into it with a little bit more depth. But the Bible tells us that after the flood, that the whole earth was overspread by the three sons of Noah. And because of that, we know that all the races of all the people that are here today are a result of those three sons. Now, there's some ministries that have gone out and talked about the black man and his skin being cursed and all of that stuff. Nonsense. No such thing. And saying that Ham was cursed. No such thing. The Bible says that God blessed Noah's three sons. So they were not cursed. They were blessed. Noah himself cursed his own grandson, and we will see that in the scripture. Now, just to kind of give a little overview of the value and the worth, people have downplayed the worth and the value of us as African-American or black people. But apparently God saw worth and value in black people and in all people, because the word clearly says that God is not a respecter of persons, but in every nation, he who fears God and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. Now, when it comes to value and in worth and so forth, I ask you a question. It says in Isaiah 43 and verse 3, where God, speaking to Israel, gives insight to the value of Egypt and Ethiopia and Seba. Seba was one of Ham's sons. And Ethiopia and Cush, Cush is also one of Ham's sons, is synonymous. Where it says, he declares, this is God, he paid or gave ransom for Israel. In Hebrew, the word ransom implies to cover, figuratively, a redemption price. The Bible has many mysteries and unanswered questions that lead to many curious speculations. Among the many questions I have asked myself concerning the scriptures in Black America is the question, to whom did God pay ransom? Why would he pay ransom with Ethiopia? If we had no worth and no value, why would he have paid ransom with Ethiopia and make the exchange for Israel? If you read over in the 15th chapter of Genesis, you'll read where God entered into a covenant with Abraham. And he told Abraham that something was going to happen hundreds of years before they happened. And the Bible tells us in reference to this, the Lord told Abraham, I think I said Adam, but Abraham, he said that he was going to deal with this nation of people that was going to do harm to his people, Israel. You'll find that in verse 13 of the 15th chapter. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. And it continues, and if you keep reading that, we don't have a lot of time to go into it, but I'm going to open it up, and we're going to look at other scriptures. But it's important for us to know that God values us as a nation and as a people. He even promised that he was going to ransom the Egyptians or the Ethiopians, and the Bible tells us that they were going to come out obtaining joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. You read that in Isaiah 35 and verse 10. Now, as to why this conflict between the enemy and God is an ongoing issue, and why he hates the Jewish people, and why he has come out clearly against the Jews and has made it his business to come against the remnant of the Jews as well, coming after church, which belongs to Jesus Christ, which we are the seed of. The enemy is bound and determined to destroy us as a nation and as a people, and anyone who serves the Lord. I wrote a book also called The Gospel According to Simon of Cyrene. This is the story of the black man, the African man from Cyrene, Simon, and he's in three places in the New Testament where he is mentioned and his sons. He was a very important person. No one, not an angel and not a disciple, was asked to carry that cross. Nobody could have touched that cross. Nobody, no Roman political people would have the power to interfere or to cause anything to happen that God did not want to happen. Simon, the Bible said, was coming up out of the country, and he was summoned by the Roman soldier to take the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, we all know that Jesus handled that cross, and that blood was on the cross, and I say to you, and I'm sure that you can well understand yourself, that I believe that one of the first and most important things about Simon in picking up that cross is he had to have touched the blood of Jesus that was on that cross. Now, we know that God opens the door, as it says here in Genesis. You have to really go through the whole thing. I probably should have gone a little bit deeper into that, but I want you to take note of what the Bible says in reference to what he's going to do to the nation that was going to come against his people, and that nation is Egypt, and Egypt is in Africa. Again, I mentioned about the warfare amongst ourselves. In 1979, I believe that in Ebony Magazine, they mentioned that there were more blacks killed on the streets of America than the entire 9 years of the Vietnam War, and it was black against black crime. I can show you in the scriptures where the Bible talks about the warfare and the conflicts that we have against one another, the hatred, why we have self-hatred among ourselves, why we kill each other. What are some of these things that are going on that has happened? And to think about the opportunity that we as a people have and had through Simon, that he and Jesus made eye contact, the Jew, Jesus, and Simon, the black man. In that moment, those two eyes met, and Simon made a decision to take that cross. And the second he made the decision to take that cross, he picked it up for all of us as a nation and as a people. We are not devalued as far as God is concerned. We are of worth and value. No one, no nation was allowed to come that close and touch that cross except the Lord allowed it, and it was a privilege. But most people have somehow made it look like we, black people, are the lesser of people, and because of that, we have no worth and no value. The Bible tells us in reference to one of Ham's sons, which was Cush. Cush begot Nimrod. Nimrod was the first black leader that actually was an antichrist. We can trace the roots of the black people that went against God, against his word, and some of the consequences that occurred because of that. Now, I believe that in the blood of Jesus Christ, as Simon accepted the challenge to pick up the cross, I believe that redemption, because it's through the blood of Jesus, that we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And that that which happened way back in Genesis 15, where the Israelites had come down into Egypt, 70 strong, and after several years, 400 and some years, they were millions strong. By this time, they had become an enslaved people. And the things that they did to the Israelites, the Bible makes it clear over in the 12th chapter of Genesis that those that bless Israel would be blessed, and those that curse Israel would be cursed. We know that no people, I don't care who they are, have been able to withstand and go against God, going against God's people. But we who are born again have the same covering that Abraham was given, because we are the seed of Abraham. And God has a plan for our lives as a nation, as a people. Most of us have no idea who we are, or the value or the worth or the call that God has upon our life. And so we have allowed other people many times to define us, and we have followed the pursuit of the evil one. Satan has come into our communities, into our culture, into our lives, and we have seen disruptions and things that we can definitely trace to the wicked one. But because of the blood of Jesus, if we would turn our lives over to the Lord, God will redeem us and will change things for us. Now, I want to kind of leave that part alone and go to the other in reference to how God started off. And the enemy, as we know, has always tried to manipulate and always tried to come in and counteract what God has done. And certainly he comes in as a counterfeit. The counterfeit that gets by is one that is able to be of such that you can't even tell that it is a counterfeit. That's how well the devil operates. He is very good and very clever. And the Bible says that in reference to him being used as a serpent, that he was more subtle. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field the Lord God made. When we read and note all the different things that it says that God did when he created man in his image and in his likeness, then it said, and God did this, and God did that. All of these things were done as God were doing them with Adam. When the enemy comes along, he tries to counteract that, and he goes and he starts to try to work through Eve. It was Adam himself that said, for this cause shall a man cleave to his wife, and they shall become one. I believe that Adam deferred and gave over to Eve, understanding that she was to be a help to him. I believe that in his, oh, certainly his disobedience, but in his attitude of relying upon her, he deferred and allowed her to speak and act on their behalf, because it'll say they. Everywhere that it says what Eve did, it was they. So they worked together, but Adam gave it over to Eve. And the enemy, hearing and knowing that God intended for Eve to be a help to Adam, made it his point to try to communicate through Eve, just like God communicated through Adam. He starts communicating through Eve. Now, so that we can open it up and the questions that you may have and we can go to the scriptures, I will just leave it open for you to think about. What is it, and why would we be concerned as to why the enemy would want to speak through Eve as opposed to Adam? What do you think would be the reason?
Well, you know, this is Evangelist BJ. That's a good one, because it takes it on down through Genesis. And we know that God spoke to Adam regarding what to do and what not to do in the garden, and he made him a helpmeet, which was Eve. And I had a brother on the line this morning, I believe from Texas, to say if the enemy thought he can hit that bloodline, you know, like Pharaoh did, he wanted to kill all the male children. If enemy thought he could stop that bloodline, he knew that God, that Adam was given direct command, but Adam should have looked out for Eve because, like you said, they. So when she listened to that spirit, that's when she went down. Amen. And when Adam knew she listened, praise God, he should have said something then. Because, you know, you have people say, well, the woman is a younger, the gender, because she's female, they do that. But look, Samson and Delilah, hallelujah, she knew just what to do with that man, how that devil spoke to her just to sell her soul for money. Even throughout the Bible, it tells stories of like that. So we got to keep an ear, as you say, open unto the Lord, because the devil will come to try to beguile us. Amen. And we got to be able to keep our ears and to be alert. I always hear Minister Ray say, stay alert and look around, because he don't care who you fall out with. Hey, the enemy does not care. That old Satan, when she listened to that, and he said, oh, you'll be okay, in other words. You know, that's what he told you. But I'm going to tell you this. Now, who are you going to listen to? Hallelujah. Because the Lord didn't speak to her, she felt like, okay, maybe he is right, since he didn't tell me directly. But Adam was there, and that's where the downfall came. Amen. So the floor is open, as you say, for anybody that has any comments. That's a deep one. Amen.
Amen.
Hello.
Mother Patricia, and then Elder Prevost. He's good. Mother Patricia.
What he did was he, he beguiled Eve, but he used the fact that the food, she saw that it looked good, and that's what how she got tricked, because she said, oh, it looks good, and he was telling her all the things, you know, that, oh, well, he doesn't want you to be as smart as he, or, you know, he used certain words, you know, to trick her, but the thing was, she saw that it looked good, and that's how she got caught up.
Very good, Mother Patricia. Elder Prevost.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. From my reading, praise God, what I came up with is the devil likes it's a difference between what you know and what you heard. Praise God. It's a difference between what you know and what you heard. We all know that before, when the command was given not to eat from the fruit, the woman was not there. Praise God. The woman was not there. The man was there. Praise God. And hallelujah, the way I interpret it, that if the woman wasn't there, then the man is the one who must have told her not to eat of the fruit of the tree. As a matter of fact, when the serpent asked her, did God really say? Just that by itself, did God really say? Because if you ask me that, I must not have been there to really have heard it for myself. Somebody must have told it to me. And my interpretation is that Adam is the one that told her, because when God told Adam not to eat of the fruit of the tree, he told him not to eat of it. If you eat of it, on that day you eat of it, you will surely die. But when Eve answered the serpent, she said, you must not eat of it or touch it. God never said not to touch it. Praise God. So my personal belief is that Satan went after Eve because the command was given to Adam, and she didn't know. She only knows what she heard. And one other thing that I always thought is Adam and God look alike to Eve, if that makes any sense, because he made man in his own image. And then he made woman, so she looked slightly different than they do. So in my mind, when he says God knows in that day you will be just like him, it's almost saying like they hiding something from you. They hiding something. They don't want you to be like them. The man doesn't want the woman to be like the man, almost like today. He just don't want you to have no fun. He don't want you to be like him. And that's just the way I interpreted it.
Let me read this, amen, before the next person. Let me read this over in Genesis, the third chapter. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of a garden. and you must not touch it or you will die. But this is what I wanted to read, verse 6. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. And then it says she did this. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And that's when the eyes of both of them came open. He should have known to stop her. Maybe he didn't know where she took the fruit from. How did he? But it says in the word that Adam was with Eve when she did that. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And go ahead.
Praise God.
Go ahead.
So that's the kind of stuff I can see all points. I can see all sides.
Amen.
But I like what Dr. writes with the scriptures about who we are and where we come from and our race.
Yeah.
And how they devalue and make us try to make us think we're nothing and treat us like we're nothing when we are really the apple of God's eye. Now, when it comes, I like all that because that is true. That goes to the argument of what that we've been saying. I've been saying to the teacher of my life. But when it comes to Adam and Eve, Dr. Wright just opened my eyes to element that I want to think that I think you asked the question, why did the serpent come to Eve? I believe it's because Adam defecated and made her believe that she's a helpmate to him and that she's a help. I think that she looked at it as she's helping both of them by feeding, gathering food. And then it's all the things above that the serpent came with the trick. See, it was a trick. He used all the cunning tricks to trick her mind into further believing that she was helping both of them when it was really an act of disobedience and a real act of if you eat this fruit, what's going to happen when you eat it? Being that he wasn't there when God actually told Adam. And I agree with DJ, when Adam seen her bringing the fruit, at that time he should have stopped her. He should have reminded her what thus said the Lord. And then, but he didn't. He went right along with it, just like men today, they go right along with what women say and what they do and what they believe to be true that a woman or wife is saying to them, especially a wife that's deceiving. And so she's been tricked, you know, just with them girlfriends talking to a wife, telling her stuff that she they ought not to be telling her. Well, the devil did that too to her. And therefore, it cost them, and it's costing us what it's costing us on today. That is my take on it, that I think Adam should have been more stronger. Had I known, thus said the Lord, being a man, and she came back with anything, not only the fruit, she came back with a rock. I would have questioned it. I probably would have asked, and we would have threw it down. Because that's what thus said the Lord did. But this goes to the human life today, of the trick of the enemy, to tell us, and we believe anything, almost anything that the trick of the enemy tell us.
Amen.
You know,
well, you know, Pastor, one of the things that we must remember, the Bible says that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field the Lord God had made. You do not need to use a beast on a fool. So Eve was nobody's fool.
Exactly.
That's the first thing we need terms with. And that's why Paul said over in 2 Corinthians 11th chapter, he said, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds would be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus. And he went on to talk about and break it down as to the fact that it is not a big deal if Satan's ministers appear to be ministers of righteousness, because Satan himself is manifested as one that is even of God himself, as many of us know how it's worded there, that he assumes and takes on that spirit of being God. The Bible tells us in Thessalonians, a time will come when he's going to sit in the temple, giving out that he is God, and he's going to be embraced by many people who should have known better, but yeah. Until their eyes were open, they bought into what it was that the enemy gave to them. So he had to figure out, he was after, first of all, it wasn't so much the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that he wanted them to take up anyway. He wanted them to get to the tree of life, but he had to go first to get them to eat of the tree that they should not have, so they'd be in the condition, so that when he came to try to get them, that's why when the Lord put the angels there to ensure that they not be able to re-enter, he blocked them because he knew that the enemy would find a way to try to find a way to get them to go back into the garden and then eat of that and be of that condition forever. So the Lord blocked it for their own good and their protection. The Bible tells us very clearly that when the Lord had made and opened up the area for them, I think it was the third chapter, I'm not sure, when the Lord had told them, maybe it's the second chapter. Let me see if I can find it.
Is this
a
Genesis?
Quick.
Amen.
In the second, yeah, Genesis, I think it's the second chapter, and in verse 9 it says, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant
yes,
to the sight
yes.
and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So in the first place, it says when the woman saw the tree that it was good.
Mm-hmm.
She saw the good. She didn't see the evil.
Mm-hmm.
God had already said that the tree was of the knowledge of good and evil. So this was no news. It was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but she focused on the good. She saw the good in it. It was good for food, and that's what she saw, and that's what God placed it in it. It was good for food, but he restricted them
Amen.
As to what they could eat and so forth, and she was honest about it by saying that she had been deceived. She recognized that, you know, the two O's is good. The one O is God.
Mm-mm.
So if the woman, if it had said when the woman saw the tree that it was God in her taking, it would have been a whole different thing. But she approached it because of the good. And a lot of us as believers today, most of us, if we're going to be tempted, if the enemy's going to get us, he's mostly going to get us in doing something that appears to be good.
All right.
And
listen
right.
to that.
That's
Amen.
Not, we are not going to just walk up. He has to deal. We have the mind of Christ. We are no fools around here. Just as Eve was nobody's fool.
Mm-hmm.
She was in her right mind. She had not sinned one bit. He had to find a way. He studied her. He watched her.
Right.
He watched her interact with Adam. He knew exactly what he had to deal with because he wanted to get to Adam. And the only way he could get to Adam is he had to get past Eve.
Right.
And he had to do it in a way, being subtle that he was, because the enemy had available all the animals at his leisure to pluck from or to pull from. Adam had named them all. God gave Adam that opportunity. He named them all.
Yeah.
Satan was well aware of Adam's abilities, his skills, etc. Adam was no fool either. Both of them were deceived, but Adam's deception was more in a rebellious way because he knew better, and yet he did not act better, and that's why the consequences was as they were.
Yeah.
But the Bible is very clear, I think, very clear in the fact that Eve, like many of us today, we get caught up. I'm always amazed at some of the things that people who are highly successful, trained with amazing skills, can fall for some of the almost unbelievable things. It's like, well, how come you didn't see that? Why were you so blindsided by that? So Paul's statement was that I fear. This was founded upon Paul knew. He said, I want to make sure, and I want to just get that real quick and turn it back over, because this is a subject, all that we are talking about, that would take more than a half an hour, hour, or whatever.
Yeah.
The Bible has answers, and we can get those answers if we hearken to the Spirit of God. I believe the Holy Spirit is here with wisdom and understanding so that we not fall into these things. And this is what Paul said in verse 3. He says, and let me do 2. He said, I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. It's that simplicity. The enemy tries to get people going deep, going here, there, and everywhere, and some of the things that has happened that has caused so many people to lose what God has had in store for them. It says in verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works.
Amen. And, you know, another thing
so
that, go ahead.
That we are
Amen.
Just coming upon the earth. We are living in a dark and deceitful yes. world, yes. and there are many people who love the Lord. They know the Word of God, and sometimes they let other people talk them into doing things that are not right, but they think that it's good, and they set out to do it, and they find out later that they were deceived by the wicked one. He is crafty and is not to be underestimated.
Amen.
But because we have the mind of Christ, we are able to make right decisions, and we do not have to fall into some of these things that some people are falling into. If we understand how to rely on the Holy Spirit, He is our teacher. He will lead us and guide us into all truth. And we do not ever, any of us, ever need to be defeated on a single score ever. We can rise above all of the temptations and the trickeries of the enemy. Stick with the Word of God and obey God's Word, and we'll be just fine.
Yes. Amen. I appreciate that. And I'm learning that, even though I've been saved this long. But the thing that gets me about this also as I was reading it, and call myself studying it, is how that when we get in trouble, just say I got in trouble with somebody, then I'm going to blame them. You know, if I wouldn't have done it, if you weren't the one that made me say it or do it or whatever, drive off the road, steal, rob a bank, whatever, it's a blaming thing in here as well. Because when they realize that they could see, hallelujah, in the flesh part, not in the spirit anymore, and they heard the Lord walking through the cool of the garden, I believe it was, the Lord wanted to know how did they know this. But what got me is when Eve was saying, well, he gave it to me, and Adam was saying, well, she gave it to me to eat. But didn't you know, Adam, already what the Lord had said? So there's a blaming thing going on here. Because I thought about Samson and Delilah. There's a lot of descriptions going on in there. But you would have thought after that woman was teasing and coercing him into finding out his strength, that he would have thought differently. But he gave over to the woman, and what happened? Amen. So I heard someone else. Come on.
Amen. I'd like to comment on the Adam and Eve situation. First of all, they were all in the wrong. They want to put all the blame on Eve. Eve did it, Eve's fault. No, that's not so, because the commission was given to Adam. God instructed Adam as to what not to do. Now, Eve was taken from Adam's rib. So, of course, they say she's the weaker vessel. Women are supposed to be the weaker vessel, which is not always true.
Mm-hmm.
However, the commission was given to Adam. Therefore, Adam should have stood up and told her, Eve, we're not supposed to do
Come on now.
God said no, not to do it, and he should have stood on that. But, of course, he weakened and gave in. Okay, now, so the first sin was disobedience.
Yeah.
The first sin was disrespect. They disregarded what God had instructed them to do. Consequently, we all suffer behind what they they did. Not only Adam, not only Eve, but the serpent as well.
Yes, indeed.
They were all punished. Everybody suffered.
Everybody.
Because of the disobedience. They didn't adhere to what God had spoken. As in today's time, if we don't adhere to the written and spoken word, there's a consequence. Yes, this is a simple walk. That's the way God planned it. But then also, he created good and evil.
Yeah.
Whenever there's good, evil is always present. It's always there. It's always there to try to distract you, to try to discourage you, to try to make you feel like, no, that's not right. That's not what you're supposed to do.
Amen.
And that's the trick. That is the subtlety and the trick of the enemy. Mm-hmm. Especially when we're studying this word.
Yes.
Hallelujah. This word enlightens us. It instructs us. It encourages us. It builds us. It strengthens us. And it tells us what we're supposed to do and how God expects us to do it. And when we obey, we don't fall off into ditches. Many of us have disobeyed and come up short, come up crippled in one way or another.
Come on now.
Come up infected or contaminated because we disobeyed. We didn't adhere. There's not one individual on this line that can say, I didn't. It hasn't happened to me. Well, if you're a child of God and you make that statement, I believe you're telling a lie.
Already. Amen.
Amen. So to God be the glory.
And you know what? And I love that, Apostle. That's true. Because, and it said over in that scripture that the Lord told, this is what the snake's going to have to do. He's going to crawl in his belly and eat. Then you're going to have to work the brow of your eye or whatever, and that Eve is going to have kids. But look. And the 17th verse, it said to Adam, he said, this is the Lord, because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from something that I told had already commanded you not to. Amen.
Right.
You're going to be cursed as well. So all three were blameless. But I tell you, if Adam had gone another way, maybe we'd all be in the Garden of Eden right now. But I thank God for each and everybody's remarks. Is there anyone else? If not, I'm going to turn
right
it.
Here.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
This is our First Lady.
Praise God, First Lady Prevost.
Amen, amen. You know, with this particular story, I used to look at it, you know, at a point of men and women, you know, but God had took me deeper, you know, on the subject, you know.
Right.
But I don't know if y'all ever thought that to think that Adam and Eve were the same person. It's the same person, you know. Let me break this down a little bit. You know, the woman, you know, they call the woman the weaker vessel, you know. And Eve represented Adam's weakness. She represented his flesh. And we all know the flesh is weak, you know. So the woman just demonstrates. Eve just demonstrates the weakness of Adam, you know, and everybody questions that why Adam ain't stop her, because it wasn't that, it ain't nothing to do with the woman. It's all about Adam. God gave Adam a command, you know, and Adam was there with Eve, but Adam was there, but Adam wasn't there. He was there, but he wasn't there. In other words, he was there, but he was there in the flesh and not in the spirit. You know? So why did the snake choose to talk to Eve? It's because that was the weak part of Adam.
Come on now.
The enemy can't get to us when we operating in the spirit, so no, he's not going to go to Adam, because that's the spirit part of Adam. Of course he's going to go to Eve, because Eve represents the weak part of Adam. Amen. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. The flesh just represents, you know, your feelings, you know? So Adam was in a place of weakness, You know, he wasn't operating in the spirit, so the enemy was able to come in and play on his mind. And Adam just followed after his feelings and what his feelings was telling him, because he was in the flesh. He wasn't in the spirit to think about what God had told him. You know, when we get in the flesh, we say, well, God did say this, but I think, you know, I don't think he meant this
now.
Over here. You know, that's how we get when we're in the flesh. We know what God told us. You know what God told us at first. But when we get in the flesh and we get the doubt and get the worry in there, we want to kind of twist it around, tweak it a little bit. You know, that's what we do. And that's how the enemy can come in and catch us when we're in the flesh.
Amen.
That's how he's able to come in and deceive us. You know, so it's not about it being man or woman. This is all about Adam. This is like when Eve came out, he said, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. This is his flesh.
Right.
Amen. And when God had called him in the wrong, it ain't so much that he was blaming Eve. He was blaming it on how he felt.
Come on now. All right,
he was blaming. Well, he was saying, I did this because of how I felt, because of the position you put me in. It made me feel like this. He was blaming on how he felt. Woo! I know this is a little too deep for some of y'all on here. I know this is kind of deep, but that's just what it is.
Amen,
you know,
amen,
this
amen.
Is about spirit and flesh. This is about Adam following after how his flesh felt instead of operating what God told him. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, First Lady Prevost. Dr. Wright, would you like to add to that? Because I want you to pray for us at the end before we finish up here. But I tell you, like Dr. Wright said, it takes more than a half hour or an hour. This is a deep subject. We need to go back some time to basics to find out just what's going on and how the Lord is speaking to us to walk in the spirit and not the flesh. That way we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh if we walk in the spirit. Dr. Wright, is there anything else you'd like to say? If not, I'm going to ask for some prayer requests. Right now I want to ask for those that would like to comment or thank the woman of God for getting us on this track. Amen. Those of you that have a thank you for Dr. Wright or comments, please speak now. Amen.
Amen, amen. I do thank Dr. Wright on tonight and all the other comments that have come forward on tonight, because the Bible doesn't really say that Eve was a weaker vessel, and this is why the serpent came to her. I believe that he came to her is because she wasn't given the command. The command was given to Adam, and Adam is the one. Eve wasn't even created when that command was given to Adam. And Adam surely had probably explained to her, but we can all contest that when once something has been said and then it's been passed down, how it gets interpreted a different way. Because I can tell Minister BJ something, and then she can go and she can repeat what I said to General, and then General tell Minister Ray.
That's right.
And then Minister Ray can tell Dr. Wright, and then when it gets back around, it's not said exactly what I said. So I believe that this was in the translation between God and Adam, and then Adam to Eve, is because even when the serpent began to talk to Eve, she did not say that we could not eat. She said touch.
Come on
so
now.
This is how somewhere the translation even gotten mixed up. So maybe Adam didn't tell Eve exactly what God had said. So, and he was standing right there when she ate. And I believe that the sin was not committed when Eve ate. The sin was only committed when Adam ate. Because the Bible says that Eve was deceived, but Adam wasn't deceived. It's because Adam knew better, because the commission came to him. So I just believe that when we all look at it and we all have our own opinions and ideas and to interpret in between what was said, but the bottom line is that we all have taken a part, and we suffer the consequences of what the sin that was committed. And then, and we can look at the sin today, what the woman has to go through. All the things that the woman has to suffer is all because of what's taking place in the garden.
Amen.
And then we began to look at, but the man was not cursed, but the beast was cursed, the serpent was cursed, and the woman was cursed. But the man was not cursed, but the ground was cursed.
Yeah.
But the man was to till and work the ground by the sweat of his brow.
Yeah.
And that's what made it hard for the man, because the ground was cursed, what he was after, that he would have to work. But I thank Minister BJ for this subject and each and every one and all your comments on tonight. Thank you, Dr. Wright.
I thank you, Chief Apostle. I appreciate that. And, you know, I'm going to tell you each something that I heard. The man of God was saying, you know, when you get your Bible to read it, you're not reading it. It's reading you. That's why it stands out and can speak to each one of us differently, or you can go in there next week and it's saying something else. Think about it. The Word of God is reading you. Amen. Will there be any more comments for the woman of God? Or
thank you.
Thank you
for this message. My name is Vicky. I'm so glad to get on this line. And I really thank the Word has really went forth tonight to all of y'all. In Jesus' name.
Well, thank you, Vicky, for joining us.
This is Apostle Deborah, and I would like to thank God for the message, for the subject, the topic,
yeah,
and for the messenger. Amen. Because if we examine ourselves and spend time studying this, you will get a different revelation time that you go through it. You're going to go deeper, as First Lady Prevost said. It will take you deeper. When you study it, not just read it, but when you study it,
amen,
you'll go deeper. God will take you.
Amen. God bless you. I thank everybody for studying his word. Amen. Because like I said,
amen,
that word is reading you. Are there any more comments? Thank you for the one of God.
I just wanted, this is Nicole. I just
thank
wanted
God
to tell her thank you for the word. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
It touched my soul. And we don't hear a lot of preachers speaking on the subject of who black people are. And sometimes our history can be so limited. But I realize that the Bible is the greatest teacher of black history, and I just want to thank her for speaking on it and just revealing who black people are as a people.
Amen.
That we are God's chosen people.
Thank
Amen.
You, Nicole, Minister Nicole. We appreciate that. Will there be another?
Yes, this is Mother Patricia, and I, too, would like to thank the woman of God. Dr. Wright, I thank you. I know you're an excellent teacher.
Yeah.
And I just thank you for the word tonight. Amen.
God bless you. Maybe we can take one more, and then we're going to take some prayer requests also. Is there another thank you for the woman of God? I know we all appreciate her. I really do. Amen. And if you ever decide to get further in your education, she's the one to check with. Just go under Dr. Brenda Wright Ministries on YouTube or Google it. Amen. Are there any more thank yous? If not, any prayer requests so the woman of God can pray and we see results take place. I believe that. Any prayer requests out there?
Yes, I would like prayer. This is Apostle Deborah.
Okay.
I would like prayer for the nations.
Amen.
Also for families.
Yes.
For the youth and young adults. I would especially like prayer for my sons and grandchildren. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Any more prayer requests?
Just for continued healing and deliverance for each and every family, amen.
Amen. Are there any other prayer requests before I let the woman of God pray for us?
Amen.
And then I'd like prayer.
Hello.
All right, go ahead, Priya. Mm-hmm.
We got a prayer request on Facebook for Pastor Tina Seeley. She's sick, praise God, amen, and we just want to lift her up in prayer.
Amen, amen. Praise God.
Also, we'd like to lift up Prophet Hubbard, amen?
Yes. And Sister Yvonne Smothers as well. Amen. At this time, Dr. Wright, I want you to pray for the prayer request, and then we'll be back before we end this. Pray for our prayer request, please. Thank you.
Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that we have this opportunity to come before you on behalf of one another in supplication and in petitions and in intercessions and in prayers, believing and standing together one with another. The word says if they have illnesses, we are to call for the elders. The word tells us that we are to pray one for another. We are to be involved personally, as was Aaron and Ur on either side of Moses, lifting up his hands, his arms, weary. We become weary in battle, many of us, as we are being fought. The enemy is coming against people financially, physically, mentally. So many areas of our lives, people are being undermined. Many are discouraged. Some don't know which way to turn. Like Jehoshaphat said, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Some, Lord, like Ezra, said that he would be ashamed to go and ask for help from outsiders, having boasted about our great God. He set a fast and began to pray for himself and their little ones. Nehemiah said, fight for your families, for your homes. The battle is getting hotter, and we need to intensify our prayers one for another. Lord, you know what every family, every home is going through. We ask you, Lord God, to intervene, to move mightily in the lives, in the hearts, change, turn things around. In the name of Jesus, give us, Lord, the staying grace, to hold fast, to continue, Lord God, to maintain the position that you have given unto us, to hold the line in spite of the weariness, in spite of the seemingly lack of even movement on your part, even when the heavens seem to have shut down and one cannot not only hear but can't feel or sense. God, let us remember your word, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
We put our trust in you, Lord, that you've heard our prayer. The word says that we know that if we've been heard, we have the petition which we have asked. God, I believe you heard us, and I believe that we have the petitions. I believe that as we continue to press in and to stand against the wiles of the wicked one, that we're going to see a turnabout in our lives. Many will see them instantaneously, some gradually. But we're believing you, Lord, for the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. We're standing, Father, on your word, and we believe in the name of Jesus that people are going to see the evidence of putting one's trust in our God. In Jesus' wonderful name, we thank you for this ministry. We thank you for those that are participating on an ongoing basis. We thank you, Father, for every home, and we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. We know that the word is clear, that the enemy has come down with great wrath, and we feel that wrath all across this world. We sense the presence of the wicked one, but in greater measure, we know, Lord, that your word gives us the power to withstand all the forces of darkness. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And at that, we want to have Minister, State Mother Patricia give the invitation out. But out there in Radio Land, I want you to know we're praying for you. I hear you out there, Tina and Trina and Roland and Johnson and Yvonne. We're praying for you. Stay on the line. You're going to be blessed. We're here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday for a word. Amen. Mother Patricia, invite those that's in Radio Land that maybe don't know the Lord as their personal Savior. And when you do the, after the invitation, we're going to have General give us the announcement. Amen.
Amen, amen. It is simple as ABC.
Amen.
If you don't know the Lord and the pardon of your sins, if you stepped away from the Lord or if you've fallen and you think you can't get up, you can. So the word says, A, B, C, admit you're a sinner. B, believe that Christ died on the cross for your sins as well as mine. C, confess your sins. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think or ask, according to his power that works in us. And the Bible says repent. Repent and be sorrowful of our sins. And God is here for each and every one of us, truly. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
yes,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And Lord, forgive us for our lack.
Amen.
We all have sinned and come short of your glory. But I thank you for grace and mercies new every morning. I thank you for forgiveness of sin. Is there one? Is there one? God is still on the throne. There's still room for one.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. General, you want to give us the announcement and the callback number for those that are out there waiting? Some, it's 11 and 12 o'clock at night, but I appreciate you all. Amen. General.
Pastor BJ, I have an announcement at Dennis Brown.
Okay, well, let's have
Thursday night, tomorrow. I'm asking all the men to come in. We know that Father's Day is on Sunday, and have something to say about the Father at 7:30 on
Amen.
My line on tomorrow night, 7:30.
Amen.
Dennis Brown.
Amen. Praise God. Any other announcements?
Amen.
And a callback number.
Yes.
Yes.
The callback number for the
announcement. Let us be reminded that we're not on the line tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., but we will be back on the line tomorrow evening at 7:30. The fellowship connection with our all evangelist, Marie Brown. Also, this Friday at 7 p.m., we will be having a holy convocation meeting on this conference line tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. Holy convocation meeting. Please sign in by 7 o'clock. Save the date for July 9th. That will be
okay.
Our.
Can you put the
cheese on? Mute your phone, please. Go ahead, Usher.
Huh? Oh, okay.
Somebody need to mute your phone. Go ahead, General.
And 11th, we'll be our summer revival. It will be held at Greater Progressive Church.
Yeah, we can hear you, Evangelist Marie Brown.
Yes?
Go ahead, General. We can hear you talking, babe. Go ahead, General.
Our summer revival will be held at Greater Progressive Church at 92nd and Broadway. Revival time starts at 7 p.m., and our speaker will be none other than Bishop Darnell Whitfield out of Georgia. All is invited out to the three-night revival. And from the revival, we will go right on in to our holy convocation, which is July 12th through July 15th. Thursday and Friday night service will be held at Greater Rock of Ages Church at 101st in San Pedro. Starting time is 7 p.m. And on the Friday night service, we're asking the clergy to wear clergy attire. You can wear your black suits and your clergy shirt. And if you are a pastor and above, wear full collars. If you are a minister or a evangelist, armor bearer or adjutant, you can wear your tab shirt. But we would like you guys to be in uniform on Friday night, because she will be ordaining the overseers of their ministries on that night.
Amen.
And then on Sunday is our official day, and it starts at 4 p.m., and it will be held at Love, Peace, and Happiness Church at 49th and Figueroa. This is hosted by our own Chief Apostle, Dr. V.A. Thomas, and our National Apostle, Apostle York Milton. Starting time is 4 p.m., and we're asking all clergy to be in their clergy attires. If you have your robes or your shamirs, we're asking that you wear those because she will be ordaining two apostles on that day.
Right.
Not two apostles, two bishops.
Amen.
And we're asking all clergy to wear their clergy attire on that Sunday. And on that Saturday, July 14th, we will have a luncheon on that day, and all is invited, but we do need to know if you will be attending the luncheon so we can do a head count so we can make reservations at a restaurant. Those are my announcements. Are there any more announcements or corrections?
Stand approved. I need that recording number. Thank you.
The recording number, the callback number is 515-739-1019. Access code 188006#. And the recording number for tonight is 534.
Thank you very much for that. You and Radio Land and those under the sound of my voice, be blessed. Dr. Wright, are you there? I appreciate you, woman of God. I will be looking for you again. And all those that hung in here with me, God bless you. Amen. You want to go ahead and pray us out? You feel like that, sister? I never get tired of prayer.
Amen.
Amen.
And, DJ, I would like, I don't remember the lady's name, but she was talking about Adam and how his flesh. And one of the things that was in 21, and it said that when the Lord took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh, said there, and I just wanted to, because I remember her statement,
perfectly,
and I wanted her to look that scripture up, that he closed up the flesh, his dead.
Okay.
And sometimes, you know, that's the problem. The flesh isn't closed.
All right. Amen. And that was found in what scripture?
That was the, sorry about that, I closed the Bible. It's Genesis 2.
Okay.
And verse 21.
Okay. God bless you all. She's going to pray us out. Have a blessed evening.
Talked about the rib and what have you.
Amen.
And I just thought that sometimes, you know, because as I said, we know that the flesh is one of the areas of the weakness.
Yes.
In the believer. We overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. And sometimes it's the flesh, you know, when Paul said, when I would do good, evil is present with me. And that with, when we think about some of the things that they were talking about, we were mentioning, I believe that our biggest challenge is the flesh.
Okay.
We need to bring closure to those areas in the flesh.
Close it up. Amen.
God bless you. Well, Father, we thank you. There are so many areas that we need to talk about and that we are interested in and that there's answers for. And I know that this has been a very eventful night. Subjects have been very interesting and thoughts and ideas have been expressed. And, Lord, we thank you that as we come together, we thank you, Father, for the vision of this people, the groups, the individuals each night. And we thank you, Father God, for what you have done for us tonight, opening our eyes and giving us a greater desire to study more. And we thank you, Lord, that we want to be open to the Holy Spirit and learn new things and be a blessing. And we thank you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen.
Amen. This is BJ with True Bible Church. Be blessed, and we'll see you on tomorrow night. God bless you all. Thank you.
Good job, elect Pastor BJ. Get a good job tonight. Hey, amen.
God, I appreciate you. Thank you. Good subject.
This session is no longer being recorded.